Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are beginning our last study in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. We've entitled Final Greetings, and we are going to study verse 12 today, where is written by Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him. I've written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. So it may be that if Peter's in Rome, then Silas is there because Paul's in prison in Rome. So maybe Silas was his secretary that wrote all this to him.
Yeah, he...
Or the penman, I should say.
Yeah, Peter's right. Peter, it's from Peter, but it could be that Silas is the one that's writing all this down. But he says he regards him as a faithful brother. This is someone who obviously they know about because he's mentioned him by name, but it also speaks to the relationship that that Peter and Silas have together. But you know, this is someone that they can look to as an example of some of these things that he's been writing to them about. This faithful brother, this is someone that I'm going to mention right here at the end that's doing it right, so you can follow his example in that way.
Yeah, we'll look up a few passages here to talk about Silas a little bit. Garrett, if you would flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'm going to turn over to 2 Corinthians. But we'll first have Garrett read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 1:1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace.
And then we turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1:19 says, For the Son of God Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it's always yes. So Paul, as Garrett read, began 1 Thessalonians saying that it was from him and Timothy and Silas. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about him and Silvanus and Timothy preaching at Corinth, and then read 2 Thessalonians 1:1 for us, Garrett.
Yeah, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
And so you can go back and look in the book of Acts and see some of that, but community of fellow workers would have been interconnected. He was known for traveling and working with Paul, but obviously Paul and Peter knew each other, and they would have known each other as well.
This is it's another one of these people that I think maybe not as glamorized, I guess, as Paul or Peter. As far as we know, he didn't write any of the New Testament, but he's one that was obviously a minister and one that is communicating God's word, one that the church would have been familiar with. And so he mentions him in this letter as a faithful brother. I've written briefly to you, he says, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God.
Yeah, so what does exhorting mean? I don't use that word very often.
Yeah, exhorting is this word of kind of, I don't know, correcting behavior, I guess, in a way.
More of an encouraging word.
Yeah, it's kind of changing the path of, you know, let me encourage you to do, you know, something else other than what you're doing.
And in this letter, he's been encouraging them to stick with it. Don't give up.
It's not that, you know, they're just looking to give up or trying to give up, and he's saying, let's correct doctrine. It's just that, you know, I want to encourage you down this path. Let me push you towards, you know, whatever I'm trying to get you to. So that's the idea behind exhorting here.
And he's been declaring that this is the true grace of God, or some translations have testifying. Back earlier in chapter 5 and verse 1, he talked about how that he was an eyewitness to the suffering. Back in chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, he talked about how Jesus suffered. So I've been declaring, because I'm an eyewitness of how Jesus suffered, that of that true grace of God, of what it is that God through Christ has done for us, how that he suffered to stay faithful to God because he had us first and foremost, and the fact that he's going to perfect and confirm and strengthen and establish us, that's part of that grace. But more than anything, if you look back up at verse 10, he calls him the God of all grace. And you ought to connect that in your Bibles here, the true grace of God with the God of all grace, because that's the source of grace, and that's the only way that we can be saved as well.
Yeah, so one last call here. He says to stand firm in it. After he's described what the grace of God is, how that works in our lives, how that we should be focused on that instead of the distractions around our world, maybe even the suffering that we may have to experience for a little while. He also says in verse 10, remember the God of all grace. Remember the true grace of God. That's what I want you to push toward, and that's what I want you to follow. Stand firm in that.
Is the grace.
The it that you're standing in is this grace, and learning to walk in that way. Stand firm, be strong, hold on to it, because that's going to be ultimately what matters in the end.
Yeah, and that brings us all the way back to the beginning of this book in chapter 1 and verse 13, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he begins the book saying, you stand firm because of the grace that's going to be revealed. And then he ends the book saying, the God of all grace, the grace that we've been given in by God, that's what we're going to stand firm in. So why after going through this whole book of suffering, why should we be willing to go through suffering? It's because we know there's something better. Why do we know something better is waiting for us? It's because of the grace of God, and that's the only reason.
Tie a little bow on it. Make it all connect together. And that's this theme. That's part of, we talked about at the beginning of this book, that this theme was going to run through the whole thing. Well, this is where, that all comes to a conclusion. He's writing all this down, and he says, now we'll tie it all together. And this is the main point that I'm still going to be driving home here at the end of verse 12 as well.
Yeah, and that's the idea that if we do that, if we're focused on that, we're no longer going to have an earthly view of things, but an eternal one. So he'll continue to wrap up this letter in these last two verses. We hope that you will be here with us for that. We hope you'll like and share, subscribe, comment, all of the things you do on social media and wherever you get podcasts. We hope that you'll tell others about Scripture Spotlight. But we hope most of all that you'll dedicate yourself to having 5 to 10 minutes with us each day, whether you're driving to work or getting ready for school or relaxing at home in the evening, that you'll spend 5 to 10 minutes with us every day as we dig into God's Word to find the message that He has for us and for our lives. Because on Scripture Spotlight, the text is always the star of the show.